This morning's Bible reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
Let's pray, shall we? Father God, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Your word is a light to our path. Your word is a double-edged sword, able to cut between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And we pray, Lord God, that your word would impact us today. Your words, your truths, your ways, and your thoughts. And we just want to align ourselves to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 29th of December, 2019. How's your year been? It's been a good year? Been a challenging year? Yeah? All of the above? I think if we all were open and honest, we would say, yeah, it's all of the above. There's always lots of good things that go on, and there's always things that are challenges. Some challenges we don't like that much. Some challenges we don't want to rise to that challenge. We'd rather just curl up in a bed and pull the pillow over our head and say, go away, world. Unfortunately, there's times when you just can't do that. You have to go and face the challenges. It's called life, and it's what happens every year, come one year to the next, to the next, to the next. And one thing I've noticed as you get older, the different challenges hit you. 2018 for me was an emotional challenge. My mum passed away, and Cynthia's mum and other people in our lives that were very important to us. It was a challenge emotionally and I suppose spiritually on the flow of that effect that it hit us. This year has been a physical challenge for me. I had a goal of getting below 100 kilograms and then down to 90 kilograms this year. Unfortunately, I'm probably at my heaviest I've ever been if I weighed myself. I don't want to go near those things at the moment. They scream at me. One at a time, one at a time. You know, just don't like it at the moment. But so trying to do that. But this year's been a physical year for me that things have fallen apart. First time I've gone in and been put under the knife since I was 14 years old. It's a weird experience having someone come and wake you up in the middle of the night. What's your name? Donald George Johnson. Yes, that's right. Can I go back to sleep now? No, we've got to check your obs. Oh, I'll sound asleep. And then 2 hours later, what's your name? Same as it was 2 hours ago. Leave me alone. You know, that sort of thing happening every... anyone know what I'm talking about here? You know, yeah. Being in hospital. It's the reality. And then go to a dentist. First time being to a dentist since we've been to the sunny coast. 15 years. Now, that's not a badge of honour. I know. I copped the lesson off the dentist. But it was only 10 years before that I went to the dentist. So. But anyway, she came back with me and she said, now, Donnie, I've got some really bad news for you. And I knew I was going in because during the operation that I was getting checked for every 2 hours what my name was, I'd broken my back molar, so I had to get that fixed due to the operation. Apparently, I've got a strong jawline and I grip really tight when they hurt me, even when I'm out of consciousness. Anyway, so I broke my tooth, so I knew that was going in. So because I hadn't been for 15 years, she's going, we want to test everything. So x-rays, do this, do that, everything else, blah, blah, blah. And then she comes in, I've got really bad news for you. And I said, what's that? And she goes, you've only got two fillings. And I went, why is that bad news? Well, you should have had more because now you're going to think you don't have to come and see me for another 15 years. And I went, you've got that right. Anyway, so... But these things are all just new to me. The body starts falling apart. My right eye doesn't work. I've got shingles and it's going very well at the moment, meaning well as in not good. It's going out of the system. I'm feeling a lot better. Just a light, dull ache around the left eye. 23rd of December was my worst last day. And Cynthia's had that day etched into her memory. I was not in a good mood and we were driving up to Gladstone and I had to give her the car to drive. Now, if you know me, I like to drive. And that's no critiquing Cynthia's driving ability at all. It's just I like to drive and for me to hand over the car was because my left eye was starting to close because of the shingles. So she had to drive. It was just a no-brainer. So things in my body falling apart, and I just didn't like it. It's just, and one thing I've noticed this year, what has happened to little notices and everything? Like, you go and buy drugs from the doctor, and he gives it to you, and you used to be able to read those things. What happened to them? Have they shrunk them this year? And the instructions on the, when you buy something and you the instructions are on the back and you go, what the heck?
Your
arms are getting shorter. That's what it is. Yes, it is. Well, today I'm using this as my Bible because for those that were here on the 22nd, you may have noticed I was hugging the pulpit so I could read my Bible. And I said to Cynthia, I've got to go buy a new Bible, babe. And she said, why? You've got 26 of them at home. I said, no, but I need one with really big print so I can preach from it in the pulpit and not like this. And she said, doesn't your tablet have the Bible on it? And I said, yes, it does. Well, can't you magnify it? And I went, oh, yeah, I can. So, no, Coorong lost $50 this week. So, all right. So it's been a tough year, but there's different challenges for us all, aren't there? And who would want to do life without God? Not me. Not me. Now, this is the last Sunday of 2019. Now, I think it's the last Sunday of the decade, but other people have different points of view on that. But if it's the last Sunday of the decade, then that's a significant one, too, to reflect on. Now, I want us to reflect, and I know coming up to New Year, everyone does this stuff. I don't want us to write out a list of do's and don'ts and things for next year, but if you do that, go ahead and do it. I certainly do that. I like goal setting. I like to achieve things. I like to win. And so that's setting goals helps me to win. Anyway, so, but I want us to reflect on where we've been and where we want to go. I've caught up with a few friends over the Christmas break and family, and one of the amazing things is people telling stories. And one of the stories that keeps coming up is, remember the year 2000. And in 1999, we were going to party like it was 1999. Who remembers 1999? Anyway, so we were celebrating that year going into, I understand, the new millennium, 2000. And so people were all up about it. But you, who went to conferences about where will you be in 2020? No one? No, just Dave. Okay, a few people. Thank you, John. Thank you. So there was all these things about 2020. Where will you be in 2020? What will be happening in 2020? Well, guess what? That's in 3 days' time. Will you have met those goals and visions where you'd be in 2020? Can I share with you one of my goals and visions that I had back in 2000? This is before we moved to the coast. We were part of a denomination that was a great place, and we learnt some amazing things in and through that time, 7 years in this group. But one of the things that they came down on was a goal I wrote down in probably 1999 was that in the year 2020, I would be the senior pastor of a church. Because in 1999, I was a youth pastor. And youth pastors don't usually go on to become senior pastors. Well, some do. Anyway, so my goal was to become a senior pastor by the year 2020. So that was there. But the other one that I wrote underneath it, that my daughter, Michaela, would be the youth pastor of that church in 2020. And because that was the denomination we were in, that's what you sort of got to do. The father and the daughter became a team, and sometimes the father and the mother were the other part of the team, and that's the way it was. So I wrote that down, and I was looking through that the other day and cleaning up some stuff, and I went, well, tick, I've become the senior pastor by 2020, but my daughter is on the youth leadership team of her church and is a grade 5 teacher in a Christian school in Gladstone, and she's teaching those kids every day with a devotional and a Christ-centered curriculum. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's pretty close. That's not a bad goal. She's not my youth pastor here. I think Jamie probably would have been the better one in that sense anyway, but where? So these goals. So where are you going to be in 2020? Because it's only a very short time around. I want to share with us from Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. We've already read from chapter 12, those three verses. We're going to finish on those three verses. But from chapter 10, I'm going to read from verse 23. And it says this: let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Do you hear that? For God can be trusted to keep his promise. No matter what our goals are, no matter about our things, it's his word that can be trusted in. His word into our life. His word through the Bible and his word spoken into our lives. His word that we're grabbing hold of. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Do you like that? If you can grab hold of one thing for 2020, grab that. Let us think of ways... Hold on a sec. My Bible turned on its side. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's good. If we can do that, motivate one another, encourage one another, build one another up, cheer each other on to go for it this year. And all the different things that we do, whether it be, I want to lose weight this year. Let's cheer each other on to lose weight. If we want to read the Bible more, I've got hold of someone texted me yesterday. Donnie, what is the Bible app that you use? I want to share it with my family. Okay, good. Let's get into the Word of God more. And I'll certainly encourage you, jump on board and do whatever you want. I'll ring you each week if you want. Hey, how's your Bible reading going? Encourage each other in prayer. Could you imagine us, you know, encouraging each other every day in prayer? Hey, how's your prayer life going? Who are you praying for this week? Hey, you want to get together and how about we pray together? You know, Tuesday morning I'm getting up, I'm going to go see the sunrise. Let's get together and pray. Group of pastors are actually getting together on New Year's morning, just before sunrise, down at Shelley Beach. Everyone's welcome to go down there and join them. New Year's Day, so 1st of January, just at sunrise. They're going to break bread and pray in the new year. A bunch of pastors and anyone from their churches.
The sun get up before us,
no. The sun gets up before some people, yes. But no. That's you guys, yeah. Okay. Let's keep going. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Is the Lord returning sooner?
Yes.
Yeah. Every day that goes past, it's one day closer. So that's fact. Every day that disappears is a day closer to the Lord's return. And so we need to encourage one another, build one another up. That's a good little passage from Hebrews chapter 10, isn't it? Just we could finish there and take that home with us. But this is all built around where we go to in the next chapter, chapter 11. In chapter 11, I just want to point out a few things to us. It starts off with a definition about what faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command and that we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Faith. By faith, I believe in a creator God. By faith, I believe in God. By faith, I believe there is a God who walks and talks with me each and every day. By faith, I believe he listens to me pray. And by faith, I believe he's there when I open his word and he wants to talk to me through it. So every day when we walk, we can be like these folk in this passage. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And if you go through this passage, in verse 4, it was by faith that Abel. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah. And verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham. And it goes on and on and on and on. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Listing off all these people that we'd just gone through with in the Jesse tree. By faith, by faith, by faith. Their whole thing was by faith. But the interesting thing is when you get to the end of that chapter, so verse 35, and it said, women received their loved ones back again, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were in chains. Some died by stoning or sawn in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that we would not reach perfection without us. See, they were together. Some got to see miracles. Some, their life was just a tough, tough walk. Tough, tough walk. I've been in ministry now 33 years. And in that time as a youth pastor, an associate pastor, and a senior pastor, I've walked this walk with many amazing people. Today, I get to walk this walk with a church called Kiwana Life. I get to walk this walk with you guys, which is amazing. We've had a good year in 2019. We've seen God do some amazing things. We've seen God challenge us about stepping into areas and new work and new doors. And we've risen to those challenges. But over the years of ministry, I've been in different situations. I've had coffee in the last week with a gentleman, and he asked me a bit about my youth pastoring days. And I got to tell him some of the glory days back in the days of youth pastoring. You know, 100-plus young people in our youth ministry. A band that became our children's church ministry band that became a band called Rookie, because they were so good at what they did. Just amazing times of ministry and support into the community. Working in 7 different schools. And I'm thinking, wow, where did we get the energy to do all that in those days? And I look back on those days, and it was great to walk that journey with those people. But the sad thing is if I look back and I notice that some of those people are no longer walking with the Lord. Some of those people have said, that's enough, I've had enough, I'm just going to kick back. Now, I don't know about you, but getting discouraged is easy. You can get discouraged simply. You can get discouraged by folk who are walking with you and go, nah, don't worry about that, it's just too hard. Following God's too hard. Having to read your Bible and pray and being good all the time, being nice to one another, encouraging, I got no energy for that. I'm just going to kick back. I'm going to still believe in God, but don't expect me to go forward in there. I know it's easy to sit back in an air-conditioned room and watch TV and live the good life, go to the fridge and get good food and drink good drinks. But I look around and my nation's in trouble. I look around and my community's in trouble. Some of you may have seen on Facebook, for some reason, someone pinched a motorbike and put it next to the radio tower shack at my surf club, our surf club. And they lit it and tried to burn it down over Christmas. Why would you do that? But the good thing was that they left their tag. So police have their tag. To tag, Randall, tag is a gang thing. Okay, good. Good. Thank you, Randall, for explaining that. Good. You're in the hood, Randall. All right. So, but you think, why would you do that? What's going on? Our community needs us as followers of Jesus. Our community needs us to be the people he's called us to be the people of faith, to step out into that community. By faith, we will see Kiwana changed. By faith, we will continue to go into the hospital as we've done with the carols this year. By faith, we'll see and dream what we'll do next year. What will we do next year in that space? People are already dreaming. What can we do with the surf club? What can we do in 2020? What can we do in our little community areas? What can you do in your little area by faith in 2020? These people earned a good reputation because of their faith. There are many people that I've walked with over these 33 years that had good reputations. I'm going to tell one little story about a couple from this church that some of you will know. Others, this couple are heroes in this church. They were here when I arrived 15 years ago. Doug and Coral Cran. Doug Cran was a minister of 43 years' experience in the church as a pastor. And some of his stories about pastoring was just amazing. You know, back in 1965, he bought an E.H. Holden station wagon. How cool is that? Yeah. And half his church were upset with him because he had flaunted his money by buying a second-hand E.H. Holden. And the reason why he bought the station wagon? Because in 1965, you could drive around and pick up kids, like 20 kids, in the back of the wagon and in the bench seats and take them to children's church or Sunday school in those days. And that's why they bought the wagon. Now, Coral Cran was just amazing at pastoral care. in the early years here at this church, once a month, well, it felt like once a month, Cynthia and I were called by Coral. Donnie, we're having lunch at our place on Sunday. You're invited. So the first time I ever did that, I thought, oh, we're going to the Crans place to have lunch with Doug and Coral. That's going to be really cool. The only problem is there were 20 other people there for lunch. And there were often the new people that had turned up at the church over the last month. Doug and Coral just did that all the time. And often when I'd go and visit people in hospital, Doug and Coral had been there before me. Doug and Coral were amazing. And it was their good reputation of doing that. Now, there's folks in the church now that are still doing the same thing, but Doug and Coral were back in those early days for us as a church. They were with us over in the maths room when there was 25 of us just in the maths room. They were with us when we were in the basketball court with the Crows having fights nearly every time we had church on the roof. They were with us when they came into here, and to see Doug and Coral shifting these chairs around, to have Doug being an encourager. Every time I preached, he would come up and go, well done, that was great, Donnie, this is what I learned, 1, 2, 3. I'm thinking, mate, what an encourager. It is good to run with people like that, amen? And they will always hold a good place in my heart. And I got to celebrate their funerals by leading their funerals, honouring these men and women of God who by faith stayed with it right to the very end. By faith, they told the story. Hebrews chapter 12. We've already had it read to us, but let's have another look at it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, you realize that? We've got witnesses. I mentioned Doug and Coral because they've gone on. There's a whole bunch of other folk in our church that have gone on to be with the Lord, who are just amazing saints. Amazing saints. But Doug and Coral are with the Lord. And I reckon they're in that cloud of witnesses, cheering us on. Like that cheer squad from Mount Gravatt High School. 200 just cheering loudly and clearly. We don't get to see into that realm, so we don't know. But I reckon that there'll be times and they'll just cheer us on as we're worshipping, cheering us on. That's it, worship to God. When we do pastoral care, I could imagine Coral going, yeah, yeah, that's excellent, go pastoral care. Yeah, do a cook a meal up together, that's good. Come on, you guys can do this. Come on. Cheering us on. Witnessing the life of faith. So let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We get caught up very easily, don't we? We get to put on all the things of this world, the yokes of this world, the things that tangle us up and stop us from running the race that God has for us. And God has got a race for us, each and every one of us, to run our own race, to run the race that He has set before us. And so my encouragement to us is to reflect on this year and have a look at the things that we may have taken on, the things of discouragement that we may have let sit on our shoulders and no longer desiring to get up and go into that space anymore because, nah, had enough. But to just get rid of those things off our shoulders and say, yeah, I can do this. Me and God, we're a good team. Me and God, we can do this. We can run this race because when God as our coach encourages us to do these things, sometimes a coach will get us to a point where we need to go. He'll get us to a point where He knows we can do it and we do not. My coach that was with me back in those days at high school, grade 10, 11 and 12, he grabbed me as a very raw, pathetic runner in grade 10. And then in grade 12, he saw me to be at a point. But he pushed me hard at training. One day at training, he said, Donnie, we're going to do 1,500 reps. So 1,500 metres, as that young girl was talking about a race. So 1,500 metres. And he said, you're going to go and I'm going to time you and you've got to do it at such and such a time. And he said, at the end of that race, you'll have a break and then you'll go again and you have to do it close to that time again. And I went, oh, I hate those runs. So anyway, to take off after 1,500 metres. I'm going and he's encouraging us all the way and we're going around that track and there's others running with us and we're all pushing each other to go better and faster and further. The last lap I get there's a young guy called Derek Kickbush. Now, Derek was in grade 9 at my school. I was in grade 12. He was the Queensland champion over 1,500 metres for his age group. He was at the start and finish line. And I went, hold on a sec, how come he hasn't done 1,500 metres? And as we get into the back straight coming down there, my coach goes, Donnie, I lied, you're doing a 3,000K time trial. Derek's at the front of the race. You keep going and I'll keep the clock going. Don't let Derek beat you. I'd already done 1,500 metres. And I'm now racing a kid, 3 years young. Well, it was 2 years, I was only 16. But I'm not getting beat by a kid. I don't care if he's the Queensland state champion over that distance. I'm not letting him beat me. Guess what happened? I did beat him. Of course I beat him. I wouldn't tell you the story if I didn't beat him. Oh, yeah, he beat me. I was useless. No. I ran my fastest ever 3K time trial. The coach knew I could do it. I didn't think I could. There was no way I thought I could do that sort of time. Even now when I tell people that time that I did on that day, they go, what? You? Yeah, I know. It doesn't look it. But our coach, God, knows what we can do, doesn't he? He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how we're wired. He knows the giftings and the talents that we have. He's the one that enables us and strengthens us. And even when we don't think we can, guess what? He fills us with his very self to enable us to do it. He's a good God. And he's a great coach. And I pray that in 2020 you will grab hold of God's word, God speaking, and you will run this race with endurance all the way to the end. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. If he endured the cross, surely we can go for it, can't we? Disregarding its shame, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. I want to tell you one little line in 2020. Quitting is not an option. We're not going to give up in 2020, are we, people? We're going to grab hold of what God's got for us and we're going to run hard. We're going to run the race that God's got for us. Whatever it is, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your groups that you're the one that's witnessing. We're going to go for it, aren't we? We're going to say, yes, Lord God, fill me in you. Inspire me. Open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may be a part of this. That passage, Hebrews chapter 12. I remember at Bible college being told by Ivan Bowden as we were doing the breaking of it down. He said loudly and clearly, this passage is in the Greek tense that it's like a command, an order. And he said, imagine a drill sergeant saying it. Now, the interesting thing is I did some research this week is drill sergeants aren't nice guys. They get you to a point where you do it automatically. Automatically, boom, 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 automatically. And they talked about, as a person who's on the drill, now I was in Boys Brigade, so we did drill. And we did it and did it and did it. And I didn't know why we did it all the time, but when you got into a competition, it was just run through like that. And you just did it automatically. In the drill sergeant, eyes are always front. And when a drill sergeant goes, eyes, guess what you were meant to say? Open straight away, eyes open straight away, and then they'd go ears, and everyone was supposed to go click. So you're ready to listen. This year in 2020, if God is our drill sergeant, a good drill sergeant, may we be ready with our eyes open and our ears ready to listen and to see and obey. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Hebrews chapter 10, 11, and 12. Amazing three chapters, and we've only gleaned a little bit out of them. But I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us. Help us to reflect on the year that's been, but get ready for the year or the decade that's coming. Lord God Almighty, this community needs you. My family needs you. I pray, Lord God, you would put me in the place as a follower of Jesus Christ to be your hands and feet. to have my eyes open and my ears ready to listen. And may my will and my spirit be ready to obey. In Jesus' name. Amen.